Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
It's another Tuesday night. 6:01, and you're listening to On Wheels Now. It's the Racers Roundtable. We're racers, drivers, owners, officials, all get to talk about racing. And we have a call-in number, 702-485-4699. It's 702-485-4699. And I want to introduce the man always on a mission, Mr. Gary White. How are we doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. I tell you, it's a little bit warm up there, but can't complain, man. We can't complain.
Nope.
You know, we discussed this last week amongst ourselves. And truly, here from On Wheels Now, our prayers go out to the people down in Texas, Houston, and their recovery and everybody who they lost. And, of course, all those in Florida, the islands, St. Thomas, Cuba, Puerto Rico. All we can do is say our prayers and pray for a speedy recovery and everybody gets back. But America is resilient. They're on top of it down there. They're putting it together. And just think about them. You got a couple extra bucks. And you have a special charity, Red Cross. Do yourself a favor. Send a couple dollars down there. They need every little bit they can get. Humane societies down there for pets and number of pets that are stranded, unfortunately. So keep that in the back of your mind. I know it's been on the forefront. And let me get to introduce our fearless leader, Mr. Mike Reffler. How are we doing, Mike?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely
fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Now you can hear me. Okay.
Oh, there he is. How are we doing?
Late.
Again.
Late.
Sorry.
No, come on. Mike's late. Not late.
No problem. I thought it was. I thought he wasn't coming because he was upset at me from breaking his format last week.
Give you a taste of your own medicine.
I mean, once, twice, maybe in 6 years have I broke format, but. Yeah, no.
It wasn't format. It was just we have a lot to get to. I want to find out more about Rob. We're already getting out to tell the good stuff.
Great guest, Rob.
We get to have him in again. Obviously, I love Rob. You know, he's a great guy. You know, that was evident
and
from
by the way,
week.
I think you
by the way, wait. And by the way, we do feel sorry for his wife. Don't worry.
You know, he's just great.
I think the only other person you're that excited about is probably Chet.
Chet. Yeah, we've had some great crash.
I'd say Hannah,
you know,
but
I
you haven't
that,
been here
I
with
get,
Hannah
I
yet.
So. You had to go there. You know, it's Cindy Clark, Pat Petrie, Doug Hamm.
A lot of great guests.
Yeah.
Of course, you can go to onwheelsnow.com and click on the blue On Wheels link, and you can get to all the archives, over 200 great shows to go back and listen to. Last week, of course, Rob Street with RobStreetRacingPhotography.com. Want to make sure you check him out. Great job out there that he always does at the track. So,
I mean, the guests just keep on getting better and better and better.
Wait a minute. Let's rewind. Let's see who is the worst guest. Let's do a rewind.
I got the answer.
Who's the answer? And this is Gary's opinion, by the way. No.
January 17th of 6 years ago. JJ and myself were probably the worst guests.
You're still on. You're the longest running guest ever. So.
This is what it was. You're invited to a radio show and I'm coming along. Huh? What? This was 6 years ago. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, we got invited. You're coming along. You're doing all the talking. That's it.
That's right?
That's the way it went.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, that was at like 9 p.m. at night when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I got invited to a show. You're going and you're talking.
Well, you know, it's funny timing because it's something that you actually had on your mind.
Yes, it was.
Doing anyways. And what happened was a mutual friend in the racing industry, Jerry Gentry, a lot of guys know him as, I don't know why, but Jerry Gentleman Gentry, but he's a nice guy, but I don't know about a gentleman. But anyways, a mutual friend of his, which is Jesse Day.
Yeah.
With Day Auto Works back in the day,
I guess.
Had one of my ASA trucks and the old speed trucks in there straightening out the frame, and we were talking and stuff, and I'd seen some bomber. I don't know which bomber it was in there. It was one of your
the black one.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the bombers in there, and he was doing some work on that, and we just got to talking, and I don't know how your name came up, I guess, because it was your guys' car. And at that time, we were just, just new, looking for guests.
It could have been a number.
Yeah.
It could have been the Butte, the tuna boat. It could have been the 74 station.
It was in January, so whatever in that January it was.
It could have been.
I don't even remember.
What's his name? Which car? The D&D towing. Could have been Brian.
Yeah, Brian.
It could have been Jesse's.
I did see. Wasn't Sherrar.
Jimmy Sherrar.
One of his was in there.
Chevy.
There was one of those in there. And then my old, and I didn't know Jesse had already done a bunch of work to it, but my old Charger stock.
Right?
Yeah, my old Camaro was in there that he was working on.
It was like Bomber. Jesse's shop was like Bomber Central.
That was Bomber Nation.
And we're the longest running guest, I guess.
I got to make you guys some trophies.
See what you started?
Yeah, but you know what? And great run with, of course, great addition to the show. Couldn't have ran this long without you guys, Gary and JJ. So, but keep an eye out. Some great stuff coming after the first of the year. So a lot of fun stuff happening. So make sure you stay tuned and all that good stuff. But anyways.
Yeah, you never know what guests we're going to have on, whether it be a photographer or a bandolero driver. Oh, we just knocked those two out.
Yes.
That's right.
We did.
We checked them off the list.
Hey, so now nobody can say we've never had a bandolero driver.
Maybe we should do. Who should we get on next?
It might be a 40-year-old bandolero driver, but we got one.
I don't know.
Is he that young?
I don't know. Okay.
A 40-year-old
bandolero driver.
Yeah, Rob.
We're busting your balls.
That's right.
Got to bring him in again.
He's definitely
got to bring him in again.
And I didn't know until after the show, but some of the big NASCAR pictures he's taken is being used in.
Yeah, right. And whatchamacallit, number magazines.
Yeah.
They're being passed around.
Right.
The even photos that he's got out there on Twitter. He went to a racetrack, and that a lot of the guys on their phone or iPad have the background of this one picture with Danica Patrick.
I know, that's a funny picture too.
Is it? I haven't seen.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, Rob's been around the speedway. He's been in the media center. He's been in the pits. He's been on the track. He's behind the scenes. Tremendous talent.
And it was cool to find out a little bit besides Bandolero about what Duo Street, where that came from, because I never knew where Duo Street came from. Obviously, because there's Duo Street, two of them street guys, and then of course he's just young in the industry. He's like a baby in the photography industry.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that that's something he had just taken on not that long ago.
Something on the side that he picked up, he loves, and he's running with it.
He's comparing his photography with his bandolero age. So he's allowed to run bandoleros with his photography age.
if he stays with it, like I said, you know, you brought up Chet Kristner,
yeah.
And that Chet had told us he chose to be on his own and what he's doing with MAPTV and, you know,
right.
just going places himself and being an independent. And I had said years ago, I don't understand why they haven't picked him up. Well, he was offered positions, but
right.
he's
likes,
a free spirit.
Right. Well, like us on the show, we like our local stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we can do and have had opportunities to do to expand and do different things. But I like what we do. I like our local racers. I like them feeling comfortable when they come in and talk to us. And, you know, and it's about us locally, our local shows,
yeah.
You know.
I've had the radio show before, and it was something when we started, you know, when I was with Tracy Leonard. It was, you know, NASCAR and Busch, Craftsman Trucks, off-road, all the professional stuff. And I had done that. And I enjoyed that, but I enjoy this more than what I did before.
Right.
It just is a lot more relaxing,
yeah.
Having a lot more fun, a lot more access, I should say.
Yeah,
to guests instead of rereading news,
right? And anybody can do that,
all,
you know.
Already out
anybody
there,
can do that,
you know.
And now back to remember, almost 6 years ago when I said, "Hey, we're going on a radio show, and you're doing the time,
we're never leaving."
That's me. And
you're still doing what I was talking about.
I was left out in the cold again.
Well, it's fun.
Know.
It's fun when
I
guests
still don't know.
You know,
and we're never, like Gary said, we're never leaving.
You know,
obviously,
it's just fun hearing like the guest stories when they come in, all the different, you know, the names we've heard. Maybe we didn't meet the person or whatever, and the different guys that come in and girls that come in and talk about these different people at our local track, let alone in the local series industry here. You know, we hear these different names like, oh yeah, that's a funny story, you know, linked to this person. I know that this other person that knows this other person. And
like when we had Cindy Clark in,
yeah,
I knew she drove a super or late model, whichever it was back in the day for Steve Rush.
She was as obnoxious as she is.
And I never knew she had all that dirt experience until the radio show.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
The super stock. You,
And it's fun to hear her call you Lugnut, because that's what she remembers you as, Lugnut, you know?
I mean, you're talking 17, 18, 19 years ago.
Yeah.
I had the show, and she still remembers that. She was on the show.
Right.
Also, Lance Megan.
Oh, back
then,
yeah.
Back in George Antill,
right.
And we had a variety of people, but reporting on professional stuff. And once in a while,
right.
We hit the local track,
the
bowl lane,
yeah.
You know, but we never did fully interview,
right.
You know, Cindy. And I had no idea her and a brother, you know,
that's funny.
Took over dad's garage.
Yeah, that's a fun story. Right,
over
exactly.
Garage. Dad, it's like, park your car out there. This is the race shop now. You know. Didn't know that, you
right.
know, I know
what?
she's had her hand in a lot of media, but those are things,
and who knew you just had to be a pain in the ass to get anywhere, right?
Yeah. And never leave.
And never
until they let you.
Yeah, right. But I agree. So.
Yeah. It's, it was a surprise. And I'm like, you ran dirt first? Really?
Hey, and it shows on the skid plate cars that she races as the Wonder Woman.
And
she finished second this past weekend.
Yes, she did.
I didn't go. I didn't watch. But I'm glad to hear that. One step closer to getting first.
That's it.
So,
but she's enjoying that. I mean, she ran that, you know, next to the modifieds when she was out there with the super late models, you know, that premier division, you know. Right along with the modifieds then.
Right.
You know, and that's what I knew her from, running super lates, you know, and she came back and, okay, fine. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm building a skid. When we saw her beginning of the year, we're building a skid plate car. What?
Yeah.
Huh? What? That super late model talent, you're going to be driving a skid plate car? You know, I guess it's the next best thing to dirt.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
You know, Tell her, hey, you know what? Take the skids off, put the wheels on, all right, and take it down to Pahrump and run them with the minis.
Will they allow that cage? I don't know what kind of cage she has, but I know there's a little bit of a difference.
Oh, anything could be beefed up.
They'll let him run.
Yeah, 19 cars this past weekend.
Yes.
Not good.
That's not one division.
No, spread over five divisions.
All right.
The big divisions, not the
was there anything
the dwarfs.
Going on this weekend? Maybe the other people were like preoccupied doing other things. I don't know. Maybe at the movies.
We'll blame it on the potential possibility of rain.
Ah, there
that
you go.
That stopped people from
well, hey,
going
it,
in.
It did rain like cats and dogs out at LVMS. Tim sent something out to, I don't know if it was everybody or just modified drivers, but he had a meeting Friday night at the Tire Barn to discuss the modifieds for next year because, of course, this past weekend was their final points night.
Yes.
So, you know, I went, you know. I got beat up a little bit by both Pat and Tim.
Wait, let me guess. Three words. Where's your car?
Well, yeah. I mean, Tim, you know, brought up one point. He was like, you know, hey, Mike's been paying for pit spaces out here for 2 years, and he don't even use it. And of course,
because
Pat,
Tim, he rents them for twice as much because they're premium spots.
Yeah. Right, and of course, you know, and
sublets. There's no sublet clause on there, right?
That's true. That is true.
And as we know, the modified point season is over. And congratulations to
Aaron McMorrin. Right, he locked it in. Dude, what's the point difference? Do you know what
Seven.
He pulled away with 7 points. It was four going
four
in.
Four going in. Yep.
He beat Doug Hamm by 7 points.
What positions did they both finish, do you know? I'm just curious what spread it out three extra points.
For that race, I think first and second.
Was it?
I'm not absolutely positive, but I'll check that for you.
So Doug should have started in the back because of car problems.
Yeah.
And he probably would have won if he even got second place.
Maybe. Doug finished second, 1.299 seconds to Aaron.
I'll have to see what he qualified qualified at.
So, I mean, they had 12 cars. No, not 12. I'm sorry. They had seven start. And Brian Reed took three. Pat took four from H-Town. Justin Miller, fifth. Tom Fundenstein, one lap down. And Peyton Saxon must have broke 22 laps down. So, again, congratulations to Aaron McMorrin. That's one championship.
See, if Doug would have he qualified second. Aaron qualified first. If Doug would have qualified sixth and just got his second place, he probably would have won the championship in second place.
Qualifying.
Yes. That would have been a controversy in itself.
If there was any time to shut the car off, Doug, it was during that qualifying.
Right, exactly. Oops, I did it again. Oh, man. That definitely would have been the time to do it. Oh, well.
I would think with the point system.
He would have won, I think. Damn it, Doug. Now, great. You know, of course, the meeting, one of the issues, obviously, like you said, there's six cars there, seven started, but, you know, Peyton, I think he's a start. He did that last race, too, was kind of a start and park. I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but.
So,
car count, you know.
Yeah.
They discussed, you know, tires, of course, is one
thing.
Yeah,
the meeting. Sorry to take your.
Yeah, no,
meeting,
not at all. So, I think the consensus is that a lot of the guys want to run the 970 tire, like the, you know, the I think the super stocks run the 970s.
Right.
So I think that's one of the things that they'll probably go to. Yeah, Tim had some great ideas. There was just not just drivers, you know, car owners and some crew guys there. One of the guys there, I think I was on Aaron's team, was pushing for the Tucson rules. We should adopt the Tucson rules, for the modifieds. And my thoughts were pretty much what Tim's thoughts were on it. Yeah, there's some good stuff in there, but the Tucson rules are geared for Tucson. You know, they have tweaked it to work for Tucson. That's not going to really work just bringing it over and work for LVMS. Yeah. Yeah, they got some good stuff in there, but yeah, you know, I don't think that's the way to go, in my opinion. Some of the things that came up, obviously, are horsepower. You know, motors are expensive.
Right.
A suggestion was going to a 602 crate motor, but only sealed by Keller. With overseen by Tim and if that's your motor, you can be there also while it's getting sealed. Not to be worked on, but just to be sealed, just for the seal. Okay, not to say, hey, only this guy can work on it, nothing like that. It's just he's the one that would apply the seal. You could be present for it and all that, and that way they know their seal to see if it's been tampered with or not.
What was the reaction to that?
It was mixed. Obviously, one of the things is the same facial expression that both of you just gave. Like, oh, that, you know, oh, one guy type of thing, you know,
right.
Like, oh, I, you know, we all have our own trusted motor guy.
Right.
He's actually, you know, and he's been out.
Yeah.
Just like if it was any other Resnawicki or Howard's, you know, was that it would be the same with any of them guys. Oh, you know, they're all competition, you know.
Right.
Maybe I don't want to go to this guy, but it's not to work on. It's just for the seal, you know. So it was mixed. If you don't like that option, you don't have to go with that option. Tim had a great idea. I thought, this is my opinion, I thought the great idea was a second motor option along with the 602, which was basically the super stock motor. Same exact specs. You know, they're pretty equal in horsepower, per se, you know, except, you know, there's a few more things you can do to the super stock motor, but you can't really go too wazoo, and it's easy for them to check, you know, the cam lift being a 450 lift cam and, you know, and so on, you know, vacuum, you can check that. And, you know, it's something that they already know too. So to me, that's a great option. Yeah, you're taking away horsepower. One of the guys I was talking to after was saying, hey, these are modified. You're supposed to be able to do this and do, you know, and yeah, I agree. But at some point, you know, you got to be able to get a car count also.
There you go. That's the key. That's the key.
And they have
keyword.
To be entertaining, you know.
Okay. Is all right. Tim's got a division that's down. He brought back the Grand American Modified.
Right. He can only keep it
okay.
going so long with six cars, you know,
okay.
without.
I from all the directors, Boring and other tracks. Okay, here is Tim presenting ideas, and what do we need to do?
Right.
I think we had one meeting, I think, with Mike Stafford. Okay, not just me and Gary, called Bombers over. You know, we want to race. We want to race. And it was a point that we are not strapping refrigerators to the roof of our cars,
mm-hmm.
and we're not driving backwards, and we're done with the wet track crap.
So it's your guys'
okay.
fault. Took all the fun away.
Okay. All right. And
I've been blamed for a lot worse.
You know, here, Tim recognizing instead of saying, well, go get your car. This
right.
is what it is. My feet are in the ground. Okay. I'm not budging. These are the rules. He calls this group
yeah.
in and wants to work with them. Now, it would not surprise me. I mean, also with the super stocks.
Right.
Okay, which is another lacking division. But he's listening. He's
right.
throwing out ideas.
He's got ideas.
I don't recall another track person doing it, whether it be Stetzer,
yeah.
Damchek, Stafford, or, you know, those three
right.
that I ran under. All right, what do we need to do?
Right.
Okay.
You know, obviously, no matter what ideas you throw out there, and again, he reiterated a couple times that these are just ideas. He's just trying to help the division. You know, if you have better ideas or different ideas, throw it at him to
yeah.
help see what
yeah.
can be put together and make it work. So he's, you know.
He threw things out there, sticks on the wall, drivers
yeah.
like it, great, fantastic.
I think they're great
ideas
myself.
If the guys that are out there that are supporting a track like this, other people may fall into place.
Right. And I've thought
you
about
know.
This too. And he's and you got to think too, the ideas he's picking up is not just out of the blue. He's a racer. He's got back racing from Salt Lake this past weekend, the weekend before he raced up there.
He went up to RMR?
Yeah, RMR raced a super stock. I think he got seventh place or something. But you know, he's always got his eyes open. He was watching. They had modifieds up there, and that's one of the things he noticed up there, car counts and what they're running and all that. When he goes to other tracks, you know, he's aware of what's going on around him, obviously, because he's a promoter. You know, promoting this track locally, so he's always, I'm sure he's always looking for ideas and things that are going to work locally also. But you know, I thought he had some great suggestions there, and to me, like with the super stocks, you brought up the super stocks, running a super stock motor now, it gives some guys options. That there's a lot of old chassis, like he had even mentioned, like my old left-hander chassis, to be competitive, you know, out it would be competitive with a different motor package and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And you got these guys with super stocks that might have some old modified chassis and stuff. Now you can start swapping motors back and forth, and you might see a good car count in both, you know.
That's what I caught off of when you said the super stock motor rules.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I was thinking.
Can feed off the other.
Right.
Now, does he go to the super stocks and say, hey, since the super stock modifieds are close, does he go to the super stock guys and say, well, there's modified motors out there?
Right. And, you know,
because the super stocks have a
602 option. And am I mistaken? Didn't Phil Goodwin run a 602 back in the day when it was a crate motor? Because they have a crate motor option also, I believe, in the super stocks.
So,
but I thought Phil ran one, but I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, you got
two low car count divisions. Okay. Where do you want to go?
Right.
Okay. Like you said, hey, I got a modified chassis sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use our second super stock motor and,
right,
you know, run two classes. It's,
you know,
it's a good idea.
You know, the one thing, cause when I went into it, I was thinking of different options. Like, hey, what would, you know, lower cost, obviously tires are one of your biggest things, you know, and the 970s, I guess, would make it easy for Tim because they're already ordering the same Hoosier tire in,
for the
super stocks.
So you put them both on the same tires.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and the guys seem to like them. They want to go to the 970 versus the 700 tire that the Lucas guys run. When I was going into it, originally I was thinking, you know, because I don't run bump stops on my old left-hander. I run a different setup. It's a soft spring setup, not kind of conventional, but I was thinking, well, why don't they just take away the bump stops and this, that, and the other? And then going into it, I was like, you know, you hear the different guys and they're right. You can't just, you know, take your bump stops off and throw on a conventional, because there's some chassis changes were made and all that to make them work the way they do with bumps. So at least you don't take that away. When you start lowering the horsepower, well, you take away that bump stop advantage. So now you got the conventional setup and the bumps could work pretty close to equal now on a track, let's say like Vegas, where it's not like a horsepower issue anymore. You're putting a little more tire back on the car, taking less horsepower. So you're still maintaining some decent speeds, and you take a little bit away from the bump stops and putting it back into where the conventional will work. So you start equalizing that a little bit, you know, and the shocks don't come in and into play as much. So you don't have to spend $1,500 on shocks anymore. You can go buy things or whatever that might work, you know. So it does a lot of different things.
Take a lot of the technical aspect out of it.
Right. And I think you'll tighten up the field a lot, actually. So, yeah, I don't know. I think those are some great options. You know, I hope a lot of the guys welcome it. You know, of course, you still, what do you do with the guys that, let's say you do have a guy that has a typical Grand American Modified, which to me, a typical Grand American Modified is one that has a 383 stroker motor in it, you know, that could have bumps or in a conventional setup in it,
right,
that wants to show up and race, you know. you can't just throw 100 pounds at it and think it's going to be equal, because it will still probably out horsepower you. You know, so I don't know what if it's a you just hey, if it's a restrictor plate and weight, or what do you do to, you know, equalize it?
Yeah.
Or do you, hey, you got to run a two barrel, or I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is, but you still have to be able to welcome a guy like that that wants to run, I think, you know. So Tim, you got your work cut out for you.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know,
it's not from lack of trying.
No,
that's
not
sure.
Not at all. You know, and no. Some of these guys, they have the crew and the shop to say, hey, like with these Lucas guys, to just go ahead and pull their motor and throw a, you know, less horsepower motor, and it doesn't affect them that much. They can do it, you know, in a few hours or so, you know. So I think it's a good option for them. Even if they wanted to go racing in the Lucas Oil, they can throw their big motor in and go to whatever track they want. So I don't know.
Some options.
Yeah.
Some options.
And there's a lot of different options they could go with too, to restrict some of them guys. They could do rev chips, you know, you can only rev them so high, and, you know, like I said, restrictors or carburetors, whatever. I'm sure there's a ton more other options out there too, but tire, you know, is a big one. Obviously one of the things they could do is go back to the old, which Hoosier makes them now, the old IMCA, whatever they are, G something tire, which is they run them on dirt, and they're a little hard for the asphalt, but you could throw them tires on it and it would equalize whether you got a big motor or a small motor.
you gotta make it stick.
Yeah, so you're gonna limit
the pedal,
right?
Burn them tires up.
So, I mean, that's another option. I think you could just instantly go with a shit tire. That's,
yeah,
I mean, not a crap tire. It's just not made for asphalt.
That nobody is going to be able to, with a big motor, put it to the ground.
Not as much,
no.
But you can make it work. They work back in, you know, I mean, shoot, I don't know, when C.J. Schirkenbach was racing and Aaron McMorrow was just starting, and, you know, oh, I don't know, I'm going to say oh,
Jerry
03, Walton. 04-ish, yeah.
Jerry Walton.
You know, back in when those days, but I don't know, a lot of options.
God, I'm old. I can't even remember half the names that were running out there in
yeah.
03.
Mike Morrissey, that was one of them. Donnie Williams. Oops.
Jerry Walton.
Walton.
Jeez, I gotta look that up.
Who's the guy that runs? Used to run the that dance. The country
Gillies,
Stony Gray, right. You know, back in those days. It's a blast from the past. Anyways, yeah, it was good to have a meeting. Obviously, he wants to see the division grow. He's a modified driver himself from way back, so I'm sure it's something that he wants to see pick up, and be nice to see the car count double. You know, and you know, them guys are right. Pat, you know, Pat's called me, like he said, 700 times, and he reminded me 200 times during Friday night that he's called me 700 times, you know, to bring the car out. And it's good to have a guy like that really push to, like he does, to want to see that division grow, because it helps. A lot of times when you get in a funk and you're off for a couple years, you don't have the drive to just get your car together and get out there, unless you got a guy like Pat pushing you, saying, hey, come on, bring your car. And then eventually you're going to bring your car and get hooked again. And that'll be the end of it.
Here's one back in the day in modified.
What year you got?
Dal Warner.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yep.
He's actually thinking about coming back, by the way.
May 5th, 2003 points for the IMSA modifieds.
2003, there
Rich,
you go.
Rich okay. Adesanya.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the guys I talked to at the meeting has yeah. Rich Adesanya's old chassis. Anyways,
really?
Go ahead. Yep.
Ken Kulikowski.
Yep, there you
CJ Schirkenbach.
Yep.
Ty with Eric Bauer and Larry Gerchman.
Oh, yeah.
For fourth. Kirk Miller.
Okay. Kirk Miller.
Okay. Justin Miller just ran out there this past weekend, his son. Okay. and the problem has occurred. Let's see, Randall Boren.
Oh, yeah, Randall Boren.
Randall Boren, Todd Stancliffe, Jerry Walton, Kim Lawrence, Lynn Hardy, Wayne Morris Jr., Darvin Ackerlin, Joel Hansen, David Gertzman, Kenny Thompson, Troy Combs, Stoney Gray, Chris Silver, and Errol Sharon. That's
oh,
the top
Errol.
20,
yep.
May
Errol.
5th of 2003.
I have
what
06.
You got 06. Okay.
I got 06.
Who's in 06?
June 3rd of 06.
Who's in 06?
Aaron McMahon.
We're talking about modifieds, yeah.
Yeah.
Tim Richter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I plowed him pretty good one time.
And 7 in back in 06 was Thane Alderman.
Oh, my God.
Did he
run
him off? Rick Taylor in his
yeah.
in
06. Yeah, the Taylor brothers.
Yeah.
I remember the Taylor brothers.
Yep. Todd Barnes, Joel Morgan.
Todd Barnes. I think he had he was sponsored by a strip club.
Oh.
And he had like a couple of strip girls.
Greg
come
Stewart.
Out. Craig Stewart. Yeah.
Craig Stewart.
Did he come out of Pahrump?
That'd be more than strippers.
and Rick Rochelle.
Rick Rochelle.
Yeah.
Funny.
There you go. There's a throwback.
Rocket Man. Rick Rochelle.
There you go.
Yeah. That's about all I got.
Funny. I have to pull out some old. I got some old programs. Not quite that nice.
June 3rd of 06.
Sweet. Back from late 90s. Nice blast from the past. But anyways.
Let's go back. I'm going back to 2001.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
What do we have? August 10th.
Going back to 01.
Are we talking just modified? Are we talking about
16 years ago? I don't see modified.
No,
here we go. Yes.
Did they run? They were Grand American modified.
Yeah, Grand American modifieds. Doug Hamm. This is the points.
Doug Hamm.
Doug Hamm. Lynn, yep.
Crazy.
Fabian Bray.
Oh yeah.
Second, Dan Fitzgerald.
Who?
Third, Dan Fitzgerald.
Who's that guy?
Never heard of him.
Okay. Wayne Morris Jr. Eric
Never
Bauer.
Heard of him.
Here you go. Here's one. Randy Swalwell.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Randy was
And that was the dad, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Kirk Miller, Glenn Davis, Stoney Gray. Here you go. Sonny Beckman.
Wow.
All right. This is 01. Larry Gertzman, Jerry Walton, Sonny Wall. David Gertzman and Greg Albright.
Crazy.
There's a couple old names for you. Chargers, they were outlaw stocks then. Pat Petrie, Richard Kerr, Glenn Burke, Ron Moffitt, Chris Bray, Mark Schottmuller, Pat Petrie Sr.
Oh.
Who's still running. Bill Vint Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Yeomans, Mark Schreiner, Thane Alderman.
Is he in every division? What's up with that guy?
Okay. Red Turner, Jack Bass, Harry Tripp. Those are just some of what back then were 2001. Yes, Superstock drivers.
Great. What was in this one? Yeah, Superstock drivers in 06. I don't know who is this.
Well, then Chargers.
Nope,
and
they're called Chargers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Didn't you race the Bombers? Didn't they have – were you guys still out here?
We're not listed.
We were the stepchildren. We're not listed.
I guess we did.
Let's see.
This is the point, Sansa. I guess, it was 01 that we started. David Stetzer started it, and – we didn't even have points.
We're not even
on the points
list.
We
didn't even get points. Man.
Yeah. You know? I'm like, wow.
Yeah, you're right. You're not even on here.
We're only scheduled for four races, and we ended up running seven because they were a big fan favorite.
Wow. Oh, you are listed. You guys are in the back. Let's see. Are you guys on in the
We were always in the back. We were the last show of the night.
Let's see.
Hours. Stetzer paid overtime out the yin to send out 30 bombers out onto the track, man. 30, 35. And it just picked up from 02, 03.
Marvin used to run a bomber?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Who?
Marvin Reeder?
Yeah.
I didn't know he ran a bomber.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
Which one was that?
UFO.
Why, no.
Station wagon.
That's what it was. I do remember that.
Yeah.
That no way. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So just now. Of course, you got Gary Wyatt, Matt Larson, Vinny Raucci, which didn't he race this past weekend? Oh, that's the junior.
His son, Vinny Jr., ran the bombers.
Larry Dittman.
Yeah. He won that year.
John.
No.
06.
06 was Larson.
Larson. Matt Larson.
Yep. I remember well.
Matt Cunningham. That's a name from.
Yeah, these guys
James,
are trying to. Rucci.
James Locke.
I don't know. Larson.
No,
Tammy
James,
Cunningham. Those.
What,
all those.
Why did it say Tammy Sargent? Is that.
Yeah.
That's Don Sargent's wife.
She raced?
Yep.
Yeah.
Really? Consistently?
Yep. Along with Jan
Matter.
Jan Matter.
I didn't know
Matter.
Yeah, Doug Matter's
wife. Matter,
no
Jan.
Way. I didn't know they raced.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're
both
a crew name.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Oh, Chad Mattos.
Chad Mattis.
He wasn't involved in the wives thing.
No, we don't know that, but he could have been. He could have been.
Well, I don't think he was in charge and involved in
the wives. You know what he was driving? You know what he was driving then?
No.
In the bombers? A 1976 Buick Electra Deuce and a Quarter. The old tuna boat I got from him.
Oh, that's that story. Really? That's
crazy. He was sponsored by, it was black and yellow.
That's funny.
And he was sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings.
Ah,
yeah,
nice.
That's when he had the carpet.
Yeah.
The bathroom carpet on the door.
Right. That was a good story.
Yeah.
That's funny. Chris Gray. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Chris Gray. Yeah.
Lawrence.
He didn't run too long.
Shedeker. I don't know. There's Jan Matter.
Yeah,
Russell
Jan
Ward.
Matter. Doug's wife. Yep. Russell Ward, the Wards.
Yep. He had a brother that ran in the
Chargers.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
28, if
James
I'm not.
James Ward.
Yeah, I think that's
James
Ward. Too.
Michael Robinson, 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven car. I don't know.
I thought that was Bill Lambert.
That was Bill Lambert.
Michael Robinson, so I don't know.
Bill might have been done by then.
Anthony Finley?
Yep. Anthony
007.
Finley. 007. Yep.
Ken Marr.
Wade Pearson.
In the 00?
This is 007.
It would be under. He would be on the number four. 007 was Anthony and
four.
Wade was four.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Wade was 00. Pearson.
Oh,
yep.
He skipped over that. Oh, maybe he switched over to the 00. Because he would run Perump. With the 00.
Oh.
And then Bullring, he run with the number 4.
Oh, interesting.
So that's a year he switched over.
Ken Marr.
Green car.
I'm not sure this name. Number 33. Ed Satelli. Satelli. I don't know. Troy.
I used to be Creech's number.
Tracy Loy.
Yeah, I remember Tracy Loy.
Oh, there's another, Rick
Lamb.
No, this is another 7-Eleven car, Rick something. Essex? No?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Number 7-Eleven, yeah. Matt Backy, I don't know. Number 40, Greg Brown. Those, they must have, like, switched drivers on some of these, obviously, maybe one-timers. I don't know. Interesting, yeah, that's cool. That's funny.
Yeah, the Rawling brothers, they were out by then. Brett Rawling and his brother, what was his name? They ran early on, 02, 03, 04. He was the 95.5 sponsored.
No, 96.3.
96.3.
Yep.
Yeah, 95.5 was
Keith Dancer.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Keith Dancer in the Chargers.
Yep.
Matter of fact,
the only one to get a Mustang to work out there in that division.
Well, and I didn't, man, he had, was it Keith Stanzer? I don't remember. No, it was another guy. Never mind. I think another story.
I believe
of course,
it
Keith
is.
Keith Stanzer, Candy Toss. Didn't do that yet.
It's coming up. Yes, it is.
I think Scott Larson, the brother to Matt Larson, is driving that 95.5 Mustang. It's a white car now.
No way.
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah, here.
No way.
Okay. There was a couple of them.
No, the last one.
The last one?
The last one Keith Dancer built.
No way. That's cool. I'll have to look for that. I didn't realize that.
That's not the white Mustang Joey Crouch.
Yes, it is.
It is.
It's the same car.
I was wondering what happened, where that car went.
It's the same car at the bowling today. I believe it's Scott Larson driving that one. One of the Larsons are driving.
What happened to Steve Burke's cars, man? Those things are bullets.
Oh,
what did he ever do with those? They're still in his shop?
No. All that stuff got...
As soon as he got that wedding ring, that had to go.
No, as soon as the kid came along,
it had to go.
Not the wedding, the kid.
Yeah.
It got replaced with another four-wheel device known as a stroller.
That's right.
I wonder who ended up with his car. Man, that would have been a fun car.
Well,
like
I know back in...
Charger.
I know back in 06, I believe it was a yellow... modified that he drove.
Yeah.
That became a figure eight car that we ran down in Irwindale.
Okay.
In 06.
Wow.
And then it got sold.
Yeah. Yes. I think that was 11 years ago. Yeah. Jeez. I don't see his name on here.
Who, Steve Burke?
Yeah.
No, that's because his car was already gone.
Oh, was it? The year before is when I ran into him. Well, his radiator gave out. He spun in front of me, and I couldn't do anything because I was in his radiator fluid. As a matter of fact, it was I hit his yellow car on the driver's side. It was mostly sheet metal.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I used to say that, too. It's only sheet metal.
I think that was,
it'll buff out.
It'll buff out. Yeah, a little rubbing
it'll
top
buff out.
I think that was 05.
It'll buff out.
Don't worry about it. Speaking of 06 here, Justin Johnson was a super late model points leader at the time. I don't know what month was this.
And he's leading the points.
June, so halfway through the season. Yeah, and he's leading the points. And of course, Gafferini nipping at his ankles there pretty close.
Well, Gafferini in 2006 was a super late model.
Oh, he ended up getting it then, huh?
Models was Chris Bray.
That's crazy.
Chargers were Phil Goodwin. Modifieds were Aaron McMorrin.
Mm-hmm.
Then you jump to the Bombers. Correct, Gary. It was Matt Larson. And then you had 600 racers
along with that.
Rookie of the Year honors. Super late model in 2006 went to Dustin Ash.
Is that funny? Rookie.
Okay.
Can you picture him as a rookie? I don't know.
Super late model in 2006 rookie was, late model was Jace Meyer, and Chargers were Ben Morris. And the rookie, 2000 rookie of the year, and I mentioned this, Legend Semi-Pro went to Jeremiah Wagner.
Oh, that's so funny.
11 years ago.
Damn. How old was Kaylee Barker 11 years ago?
Where was she? 19, she was, whatchamacallit?
9
8. Because it wasn't on the bandos. She didn't start the bandos yet, did she?
Let me see.
Eight. I think these have bandoleros.
I can't pull up the points like the magazine.
Let's see. Bandoleros. I don't know if she was racing in 06 or not. I need JJ's glasses. I can't see this poor lighting in here.
Yeah.
It's the lighting.
Yeah. Don't do nothing. Don't have nothing to do.
Yeah, I blame the lighting for 10 years until I realize I'm going to get two 250 pluses at Walgreens.
06, I don't see her name on here. So, no Kaylee in 06. Oh, yeah, she is. I'm sorry. Kaylee Barker, the number 34. In the Bandits.
She was 8 years old.
She just started.
Just started.
Didn't even get into the Young Guns yet.
No.
Which one's first? Is it the Young Guns and then the Bandits? They're outlaws now and I don't know, whatever.
I could hear Vicky back then. Ron, she's going to get hurt.
Why are you letting her race?
I can hear her right now, Vicky Barker.
And she's probably still saying the same thing today. Why are you letting her get in that car?
Ron's saying, It's okay, Vicky. I'm trying to get her on the pole. Hold on a second. I'm trying to get her on the pole. Oh, man.
She's only in second grade.
Oh, bad. No. That's cool. Yeah. That's funny.
It was last year we just got her to write her whole name.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, you think about that. I mean, they're starting the kids in go-karts so much younger. These kids are 8 years old getting into these race cars. You know, that's 8 years old, I was just learning how to ride a bicycle.
Oh,
crap.
Yeah.
You know, and
they didn't have race cars in 1904.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry, 1906.
Well, and look at like the these bandoleros and stuff like that. They're young and all that. That's not good enough. They need to come out with junior stuff, like at these tracks, that, which are, you know, these little tiny carts that they turn into, what do they call them at Pahrump?
Those little micro
junior, minis. Yeah, minis and this. Yeah. I mean, because the juniors aren't good enough. You got to have a junior. The pre-junior.
5 years old. Hey, these kids are in go-karts at 5 and 6 years old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at McMorrin's kid. Did I see his name on a bandolero this weekend?
Yes,
did he race?
Yes,
wow.
You did. Yes, you did.
Matter of fact, he took over Rob Street's ride.
He had to retire Rob Street after one weekend of racing. Sorry, Rob.
And how many seconds faster did McMorrin the kid do than Rob?
Yes, we'll have to look that up.
Did he qualify on the pole?
Or even second?
Oh, man.
He took over Rob Street.
I didn't realize that.
I could hear Rob now. Well, there was a little bit of a weight difference. One too many McDonald's, Rob. You got to stick with the kids' meals.
Man, you're rough. But then again, he's giving you a lot of crap, too, right? So,
go back to Rob. I mean, when we first met him, you know, Gary and I started breaking his shoes right away.
Oh.
And he came right back, you know, and we love a good joke. We like laughing, you know. We use verbal. He used photos.
Right.
Okay.
But his photos say, what do they say? Pictures is a thousand words.
You know, he came out and supported us this year at Touch a Truck. He brought his daughter and his wife, which is great. You know, we get somebody like that out there that, you know, we say, you know, this is a charity that we support. It'd be great to have you out there. You know, and he comes, you know, it makes all the difference in the world. And he, you know, he did a lot of photographs, you know, with how generous the Barkers are. Kaylee Barker, you know, can't thank her enough for coming out and with you, you know, but he's just a great guy, a great family man. And he's great to screw with,
right? You know, and aside from his family life, his life is photos and
you know,
he says he gets the stories from the track. So watch your stories, guys. I don't know what he's gonna do with the stories, quote. But
we had hooked up, you know, after he had posted a picture about me breaking down the first lap at the beginning of the season, and he was by the finish line, taking pictures, you know, by victory lane, and he took a shot and he posted it up, and he puts, "Oh look, my Uber ride is here," you know, and then he caught us behind the fence, you know, up in turn two. He was in the infield to, you know, and said something to the effect, maybe sorry about this picture, but maybe they'll let Gary and JJ out of Shawshank.
Yeah,
you know. And then I have set up, which his brother, I didn't know it was an inside joke, with ducks and birds. And I put in the trunk of my car, I put a stuffed duck and hooked it up with battery cables.
Oh, no. Battery. Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. And I put a little note, you know, Rob Street, our favorite fan. You know, he took a shot and his brother commented and laughed his ass off.
No way, that's funny.
And just something, you know, inside jokes like that. And It's like he brought up the family. It's a part of the family. He found out how much racing is family orientated.
And we all know the love hate of family.
You know, he really, you know, and I mean, like the McMorrins and the Jacks and yeah, Howard's family, but it's a huge family, but everybody has different names. It's an unblooded family, but everybody is tied together through racing, you know, the adrenaline junkies, the addictions, you know, the fun, the competition. And he expressed that,
right?
You know, he didn't realize how close, you know, everything is. And I'm not sure. I don't think he made it to the banquet. Didn't we tell him to make it to the banquet this year?
I don't think he made it.
He's
got to
come to the banquet.
He's coming this year.
He's a Bando driver. He has to be.
I think he's that far off for points. I think if he runs a couple more races,
he might be in the point.
I don't know. Aaron Jr. is out there now.
Yeah, watch out if he continues. Hey, speaking of the banquets, tickets go on sale soon, don't they? Is it the September 30th, the end of this month, or the 18th?
September 18th.
So we'll look that up real quick. But so sometime this month, it's a mystery still on cost.
Like where it's at
and where. So I just know you get your open checkbook, leave it blank, sign it over to LVMS, and they'll happily spend it for you because we don't know how much the banquet is going to cost yet, so that information still has to come out. And
tickets were September 18th to purchase the tickets.
And the actual banquet is supposed to be in November this year, right? Kind of early. I think we'll find out. But
the banquet is November 4th.
Okay, so
2017.
So this year, November 4th.
Tickets go on sale September 18th.
That's it. Maybe we'll get some information out on the 18th on cost and table cost and individual ticket cost and maybe where it's going to be so you can kind of plan for your team and sponsors or whoever is going to be there.
In the past, it was, correct me if I'm wrong, $30, $35 for a single seat. Okay, and you could buy a table of 10 for $300,
which comes out to $30
a
seat.
You know,
if you buy the table.
So you save $50 if you bought the table. You know, you got 8 people. Hey, you know, invite grandma and grandpa and save yourself $50. It's almost a seat and a half free. So, but that was last year. You know, where the venue is, don't know. Might change. Depends on how many people buy tickets. You know, there's a lot of factors involved that Tim and staff have to work out, as they did last year, you know, which was a great time.
So I guess the best thing to do is as soon as you come out at September 18th, if information does or not come out, to put in your RSVP for tickets. That way he can get an idea how many people are interested in going so he can plan on the venue and all that. So I guess that would be the key thing, is to know who's interested in going. I guess overall last year the amount of people was decent.
I think we had 200, didn't we?
Decent. Yeah. You know, anyways,
it was at least 20 tables.
Right.
Yeah, no. That's I go at 10 at the table.
I can't believe it's time to go already.
Yeah, it's over.
Well, we'll keep you informed. We'll see you live next Tuesday at 6 p.m. at onwheelsnow.com. Next race is until the end of the month at LVMS.
Yeah, it's
out here.
I believe it's Keith Dance or Candy Toss.
Candy Toss.
Or Candy Grab.
Candy Grab.
That
they changed it.
Yep. Yeah, we can't throw candy at the kids. Kids got to come and grab it.
Damn it. Damn it, damn
so
it, damn
it's
it.
Fault if they grab the bad candy. If you throw it at them, it's your fault.
Yeah, I hope you're not going to get that.
You did.
So, again, thanks for joining us. Sponsors next week. We always skip over it. Thanks for joining us at onwheelsnow.com. We'll see you next week live at onwheelsnow.com. See you then.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.